Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
metalmayhemroc.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Certainly getting heavy. That's what we do. Heavy metal, talk, news, discussion, and rumors. This is Metal Mayhem ROC, and we welcome you to another edition. It's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m., and it's time for the show. I'm the Vernomatic, along with my partner in metal crime, Metal Forever Mark. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Vernomatic, always good to keep it heavy with you on a Thursday night. So, as always, fun to talk metal.
Tonight's a good show. We're getting back to the roots where it's an information show. It's a full-bore Streaming for Vengeance presentation. We're diving deep into some new music from classic bands, some new music from new bands, some video production that's out there, and we're touching on a little literature streaming. So that being said, AC/DC has a new album coming out. It's called Power Up. They dropped the new single last week, song called Shot in the Dark. So we're going to take a listen to that. Mark, what do you got going on? You got some songs you want to expose.
Well, first of all, I just want to take a little mini sidestep back because I was able to listen to that Metallica Kill 'Em All interview that you conducted celebrating the remembrance of Cliff Burton's passing. And I wanted to commend you and compliment you on a awesome interview because I was, to your point, in the recording studio doing some other stuff that night. But what's really awesome, I think, through the context of this show, and this ties into the subject we're going to talk about tonight, which is, you know, new music in 2020, new videos coming out and new books that are being released, Streaming for Vengeance and Reading for Vengeance and Watching for Vengeance. Yeah. But, you know, part of this show is we want to, you know, reflect back, look back in the day, take a walk through history, not only for heavy metal in general, but also the great city of Rochester that we represent. And I just want to tell you that interview was awesome, man. I mean, just from a pure fan perspective, being a Metallica head myself and hearing some, you know, honestly, that, you know, the one story, not the Cranker story, but the second one, the producer engineer, you know, that he never told that story before.
Yeah, Andrew.
About when Metallica was back here in the day, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to say, you know, that going back in the vault and reflecting on those memories, like, and hearing stories that have never been told, that was pretty freaking awesome. So just want to.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's, you know, that's all we're trying to do. Just my angle of doing this whole show with you is to act like a fan. What would I like to hear? And that's why we're always encouraging the people that follow us, that listen, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social channel you follow us, that, you know, get in touch with us. And you'll, like the guy at the beginning of the show says, you know, follow us and you're part of the show. So, Mark, I appreciate that. It's something.
Yeah.
So, and that being
said. And you know, like you said, you know, look, reflecting back, going back in the day, taking back to the heavy metal roots, you know, talking about the old school or the, you know, back in the day from the classic bands like Priest, Maiden, and like you just mentioned, AC/DC. I mean, until we were just doing show prep, and I guess I was sleeping at the switch, and sadly, AC/DC is one of those bands I've never seen live yet, so they're on my bucket list still. But, you know, I didn't even know they were coming out with a new album. I think I heard some rumblings and rumors, but, and I had no idea they dropped a new release. So I'm just as excited as hopefully some of the listeners will be to hear this little snippet you put together for the new AC/DC song. And I know we've got a couple other ones lined up for tonight as well. So to bring it all the way back up to 2020 and what's new and relevant present day, not only with, you know, bands that we've been following, like an AC/DC for what, almost 40 years now, but some new bands too, you know, that are out there. So yeah, I think that's why that's what we're trying to accomplish, you know, old school, new school, and just keep talking about all the stuff that's happening present moment as well.
That being said, part of the show tonight, we're going to play an interview we did with Bob Nalbandian. Now, Bob's one of the executive producers of the Inside Metal series, and they have a new two-part. It just dropped last week, a two-parter called The Bay Area Godfathers. It's a wrap-up on the San Francisco thrash scene back in the day with bands like Testament, Metallica, Megadeth, Exodus, you know, all those bands from back then. But it's a really insider look on that whole scene. So Bob, Mark and I talked with Bob a couple weeks ago. We'll be playing that a little later. Mark's also diving into some new Five Finger Death Punch, some new Accept from the new two-song release they have, and one of Mark's favorite bands that he's always hyping me to get into, and I have been, and I'm glad he brought it out, Hammerfall. We have a live track. So that being said, AC/DC, they have a new album coming out, like we mentioned. It's called Power Up. It's coming out on November 13th. And the kicker with this band, it's the first album after the death of Malcolm Young. And there was always rumors about, did, you know, Malcolm Young play on this album? Was, you know, was the old tapes? And this is Cliff Williams, Cliff Williams, the bass player, him talking about Malcolm Young's involvement in the new album.
Malcolm's his contribution was really in the writing side with Angus. Angus and Mal have got just a ton of stuff that they've put together over the years, and Angus went through it and brought a bunch of great stuff to the studio. Stevie played the parts. It's not Malcolm playing on the record.
So now that Stevie's he's talking about is Malcolm and Angus's nephew, Steve Young. Are you up to speed on the current lineup of AC/DC, Mark?
You know, I'm not, actually. So I lost a little bit of track of who's in the band and who replaced Malcolm.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So, no, that's interesting news for sure.
Well, the cool thing here is it's Brian Johnson's back on vocals, Angus Young, Cliff Williams, the original bass player, the original drummer, from the back in the heyday, Phil Rudd, the drummer up until, you know, For Those About to Rock and Who Made Who, and Stevie Young, which is, again, Angus and Malcolm's nephew, taking the spot of Malcolm Young. So it's...
That's cool.
Yeah, it is.
Really cool.
And before we get to the song, here's just another clip of Brian Johnson talking about when the band got back together in Vancouver to do this album, what the vibe was.
Yeah, it was instantly good. Instantly good. Yeah. Getting with Brendan O'Brien, the producer who's worked with us before, was just a very positive, exciting time in the studio there. You know, we've kind of we'd not played for a while together, pretty much fired up right away, you know, and got into it. So it was a great, great feeling.
The band got back together. They did some sessions. And again, the name of the album's Power Up. So I think it's great. The fact that we always talk about who's the next group coming up, especially with the passing of Eddie Van Halen recently, you start really appreciating, you know, our bands if they're still around. So let's take a listen. This is the new AC/DC.
Yeah.
So pretty much exactly what you think AC/DC in 2020 sounds like, huh? What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, to your point, classic AC/DC. When I first started hearing some of the riffs, I mean, obviously you know it's AC/DC because of their classic sound. In some ways, you could rewind maybe back to the 80s, and that song would probably slip right in there, potentially.
AC/DC, yeah. Power Up, coming out November 13th. So what do you got? You got some music. What are we listening to?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking music in 2020 here, heavy metal music in 2020. So what do we got first, Five Finger Death Punch?
Yeah, I got the Five Finger Death Punch, Broken World. And what do you know about this song and what's going on with the band?
Yeah, so, I mean, so first thing I would say is they did release Five Finger Death Punch F8, which is not what this track's from, but it is their new 2020 release, which is, of course, their eighth studio album. Just mini commentary on that album, and I don't like to talk negative of bands that I actually really like. And actually, John, I think I told you once before, Vertimatic, that I got into the Five Finger Death Punch because I saw Rob Halford perform one of their songs, which Rob actually also sang on one of their songs on one of their studio albums. And that was the first time I even like saw who this band was, because I think it was like one of those rock metal like award shows.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the reason I'm mentioning that is because I feel like as they progressed through time, they used to be really, really heavy, very almost traditional classic metal, a lot of, you know, melodies in their songs. Of course, you got some of the growling death vocals in parts, not all of it. But I think as they've gotten like overly produced and more commercial, if that's possible for a metal band, as they've progressed. And then almost like this Five Finger Death Punch 8 is more of like just kind of just like riffs. And then they just sing like melodies over these like just weird riffs. So anyway, I'm not always happy with the kind of current direction that they're heading in. But the track that we're going to preview this evening is from their second, I guess, kind of greatest hits album, if, for lack of a better term, kind of the second release. And this is a new track that hadn't been released previously. I think there's a couple of songs that had not been previously released. And this one had more of that traditional metal vibe, earlier Five Finger Death Punch albums. So
yeah,
anyway, Vertimac, I don't know. Have you ever really gone deep into their catalog?
A little bit. You know, I don't have anything against, I can't say I'm totally into the band or anything against them. I think I would have to chalk it up as a little underexposed. So if that's a fair answer.
And so if I were to just give you some advice on this, just brief advice, I would start with American Capitalist as the first one to say, hey, you really want to get a vibe for what this band's all about. Because mm-hmm. the first two are, you know, a little heavier, in particular the first one. And then I don't know if you know this or not, but they had a double album release. It was Wrong Side of Heaven and The Righteous Side of Hell Volume 1. And The Wrong Side of Heaven, Righteous Side of Hell, Volume 2. And I personally think those two together are fantastic, just excellent. So I would start with those three. Then they morph into, by the time they get to this Got Your Six, that's when they start getting a little more commercialized, in my opinion. It's, again, just, yeah, I don't know, it's going in a little different direction than I'm, like, totally into. But
well, here, Mark's giving me heavy metal homework, so I'll do my task.
That's right, man. We always have heavy metal homework with this show.
Quick little side note on this. It was just released yesterday that guitarist Jason Hook has left the band. He got hurt. Had a gallbladder surgery at the end of last year, had a bow out of the European tour. So actually the replacement guitarist is an English guy named Andy James, and he's playing guitar on this track, Broken World. So let's take a listen to it. Five Finger Death Punch.
Is it liberty or anarchy that brought us here to this? We lost the way. I don't know if we'll wake up or if
Well, it looks like that song has a little bit of everything.
I told you.
Yeah.
By the way, Vertimac, so Jason Hook leaving this band is really interesting because Jason Hook is pretty much the co-songwriter for most of the songs. I could be a little bit off on this, but I think he's one of the co-songwriters for sure. And actually, one of the albums, this is interesting, and I'm not exactly sure which one. I think it was Got Your Six. It's really weird. And the only reason I found this out was like totally by accident, but it was actually kind of cool. The CD ends, and it was like the track didn't go to zero, and it just kept rolling. It was like just dead air, and then it gets like 7 minutes of dead air, and then all of a sudden, you hear a phone call go off, like an answering machine,
yeah.
And it's the lead singer calling Jason Hook, Ivan Moody, the singer, and he's leaving him a voicemail. He's like, "Hey man, I'm out here for a stroll." He's like, "I'm drinking some wine. I'm looking at the beautiful stars and the moon, and I got this lyric in my mind." And he starts dropping the lyric. I think it's for the title track for Got Your Six. And he's like, "Hey man, I had to get it off my mind and leave it to you." He goes, "Come up with some riffs and let's touch base tomorrow." And then it beeps. You know, I was like, it was kind of cool because it was like, getting inside the mind of the singer, walking out in the middle of this, like 2 a.m, drinking wine, and he gets a riff in his mind. He wants to get it to his guitar player,
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting development for this band. I guess directionally speaking, we'll see where it goes. But hey, that song had it all, right? Melody,
yeah.
Growling death metal, and just some serious, crazy, crushing riffs and everything else. So. I don't know. I like them. They're of the newer bands that are around, or I guess newer, like, I guess they've been around 10, 12 years now, but
yeah.
Not 40 years old. I like them.
What's the next track you got? Little Accept. What do you know about
this one? Yeah. So, hey, I mean, our boys from Accept, man, they're coming out with a new album. I mean, Wolf Hoffman is the original guitarist from old school original Accept. And then Udo went off and has since done his thing. They brought in Mark Tornillo. I'm not even sure how many years back now, and I'm not sure what album this is with Mark, but I think a lot of Accept fans have felt like he's really brought a new energy and life to the band in general. I have not seen them yet with Mark Tornillo singing. However, I have seen Udo solo. And I know you're – and it's hard, again, I don't like to – you want to be honest about how you feel about songs? But, this one, I actually kind of like it. It's got, a little hokey chorus line with The Undertaker, I suppose. But I like it, though. I think I listened to it 3 times now, and I think the third time I liked it better than the first two. But what was your first impression?
And my first impression was I thought the opening was a little long. But after, I edited this down, I listened to like 3 or 4 times. And to tell you the truth, it has a lot of those classic Accept elements. That chanty kind of, medieval, oy, 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 that kind of, how Accept gets into that ethnic kind of sound that they have. So, hey, want to give it a shot? Want to give it a listen?
Yeah, but also, before we play real quick, there is a second single that they released from this album that, again, the whole album hasn't come out yet, but that second one's a live recording somewhere, so they must have previewed a song from this new album. That one has a lot of AC/DC feel. Speaking of AC/DC.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we chose this one because it's more metal. I'm a huge Wolf Hoffman fan, by the way. I just think a lot of his riffs are just in and of themselves are kick ass, like just straight up metal. So yeah, let's give it a go.
Okay. Accept Undertaker.
All as grains of sand.
See, that song like that and that chant, that, you know, that could fit right in with some of the older Accept. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I like
That's classic. That's classic Accept 100%, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm trying to do some fact-checking while I was listening to that real quick. I think this is the fourth studio album with Mark Tornillo, I'm pretty sure. Blind Rage, I believe, was the first album with him. I think the Stalingrad release, which was before that, and then Two Back with all the way back to like Predator and Death Row. I think that's when Udo was still in the band. So maybe we'll double fact check that. But I think this is probably the fourth release, if I believe correctly. But
yeah,
Mark, I like it, man.
Yeah, Mark came into the band like within the last 10 years, and you know, like everything else, he came in, added some fresh blood. And, you know, a powerful Mark has a history, T.T. Quick, you know, it's not like some guy off the street. So now the next track we have, tell us a little about it. What do you got?
So we are, again, 2020 release. So that's always a good thing because we haven't had as much new music out there. So this one is by Hammerfall. I guess they recorded a live show, probably the last time they were able to tour. It's coming out on October the 23rd. So they just dropped this this track from it. It's the album's called Live Against the World. And by the way, speaking of streaming stuff and book releases and everything else, Hammerfall recently launched what's called Hammerfall TV, where they have it on a YouTube channel. They stream live every Friday and they go through different albums. They play different riffs with their guitar player. They talk about the songwriting, answer questions about recording. So another heavy metal homework for our week here. We got to check out Hammerfall TV. So anyway, that's, you know, it's going to be a live song. So it's that's what it is, a live album coming out. But again, I'm a big fan of this band, classic traditional heavy metal from Europe. And you want to give it a listen?
Yeah, here we go.
Let's do it.
Keep the flame burning. Hammerfall.
It's metal.
Well, your take on that, Mark?
Yeah, so Vernimac, that song is actually from the 2000 release, Renegade. So that track's 10 years old now from one of their older albums.
But it's but it's coming from a live album that they have coming out, or what is this?
That
from?
Is correct. Yeah, this new album coming out is a live album. Correct. So it's just a live album from. It's called Live Against the World. And it's I'm not exactly sure what show they recorded or shows, but it was probably 2019 when, you know, last time they were actually to play in front of live audiences.
Yeah, no, so, I like that.
Yeah, that particular track's from the album called Renegade. By the way, just some more. Actually, I'm looking at the track listing right now. Looks like they've got 20 songs total, and it's just a good old run through their catalog, just looking at the track list. But back to Hammerfall, just again, if you want to do some other heavy metal homework, their very first album, Glory to the Brave, just straight up kick-ass classic heavy metal. I think you'd really like it. And then Legacy of Kings, which was their second album, follow-up, equally as good. There's definitely some progression there in their songwriting. And then from there, look, they're all strong. They, you know, in each of their own right. I think some of them are a little bit cookie cutter in the way they just kind of do their thing. But they had another random one in there called Infected, which was in 2011. It had a little bit of like Walking Dead like vibe to it, like zombies and all that. But that one was a little different for them, maybe a little darker, a little heavier. So of all the ones, if you want to check the first two out and then slip over to Infected, that would give you a really good dose of kind of what Hammerfall is all about. But look, consistent, man. You know, every year or two, new album, tour. They don't come to America that much, but they have been here a few times. They're huge in Europe, you know, play those festivals. And
yeah.
So I think you got to give them a chance. And I think you might dig it.
All right. I will.
All right.
At this point, we're going to launch into the interview with Bob from the Bay Area Godfathers documentary. And after that, we're going to end with one more Streaming for Vengeance. I just wanted to make note of it. It's from the new super group called BPMD. It's Bobby Blitz, Ellsworth from Overkill, Mike Portnoy from the Winery Dog, Sons of Apollo, Dream Theater, bassist Mark Menge from the Metal Allegiance, and guitarist Phil Demmel from Violence, X Machine Head. Well, these guys got back together, or got together, and they released a song, a cover of the Van Halen DOA, and it's pretty kick-ass. And before we bring this show in for a wrap, I just wanted to say that, last week was really tough with the passing of Eddie Van Halen. And one thing, and it even continued the other night with the networks breaking from sporting events, playing the Van Halen music. It's, I thought it was bad last Tuesday when, you know, it happened and we were all emotional. But I just have to say, I don't think I've ever seen anything with the outpour for a modern rock star that passed, like what's been going on with the observance with the Eddie Van Halen passing. And it's tough. It's really tough. But I just, Mark, your thoughts? I don't know if you're.
Yeah, no, to your point, I mean, it just shows what it can. And we talked about this, unfortunately, the night that he passed, that this, you know, Eddie Van Halen transcended everything. Like, yeah, just, it didn't matter if you're a rock fan or a metal fan or whatever, it just transcended the whole thing. Everybody, you know, so many people talking about those albums back in the 80s and what that meant to them and how it said it changed their lives or impacted their lives, or they're excited that it was part of their lives. And
you know, whenever an artist passes, there's always a hit on the streaming service and whatnot. The Van Halen music was increased by 6,000%, and actually, tell you the truth, five of the songs are in the top 100, and they're threatening to take that Cardi B song off the top of the charts. So
thank God they should.
Yeah, they
horrendous.
Should.
But I'm guilty of that, by the way, because I think it was last Friday or Saturday. I was just in the kitchen whipping up something to eat, and I just threw on Van Halen, man. I went in a hole. I just kept listening. I was like, some stuff I hadn't listen to in a while. Like, I like the Van Hager era, but then again, you know, I flip flop back and forth because, yeah, like you always say, almost two different bands, although Eddie's right in the middle with Alex.
Ed's the constant, Ed
and
Al.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. Well, Michael Anthony too, right? With their harmonies and everything. But anyway, just like, man, I just remember how much, and you know, every time you listen to that stuff, right, it just brings you back in your mind. Like,
yeah,
you're plunked back in time to when you first heard those songs or what you were doing and driving around our cars and just doing stupid shit in high school.
Yeah. So,
man, yeah. And I think, look, that Eddie Van Halen stuff's going to keep going. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just going to keep going. It's too bad that a guy has to pass like that for all these tributes to come out. But I think it's then you realize, you know, you appreciate it even more.
Yeah. And it leads to an example for all of us to, don't want to sound cliche, but especially 2020 has been terrible in the way it was going on, you know. Hug your loved ones, spend time, especially this holiday season, with the people you love, because you just don't know. So
that's true.
That being said, let's keep it heavy.
All right, man. So next Thursday, and this interview is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So again, going back to the roots of heavy metal. So
all right, Mark,
everybody enjoys it. Thanks for Nomadic, and great interview upcoming. Here we go.
All right. Talk to you. All right, the Bay Area Godfathers, the riveting story of the Bay Area metal scene. This is the Vernomatic with Metal Forever Mark, Metal Mayhem, ROC. We have on the line Bob Nalbandian from the Metal Rocks Film guys out in California. Bob, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure to be on. And I appreciate you guys, your interest in the movie.
Of course, of course. We discovered, you know, in this streaming age that everything's at the tip of your finger. The Inside Metal program or series that you guys have been doing the last 7 or 8 years. And you have a new one coming out from Metal Rock Films called The Bay Area Godfathers. Give us a little.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds exciting. Give us a little background what it's all about.
Well, this is the fourth title of the Inside Metal series. Each of the titles are two volumes, a part one and part two. We got part one coming out this week, October 6th is the official release date. It'll be out on DVD and streaming. And yes, the previous three titles, Inside Metal titles, Pioneers of LA Hard Rock and Metal, LA Metal Scene Explodes, and Rise of LA Thrash Metal. As you can tell, we're all on the LA metal scene, and those are all available for streaming on several different platforms and available on DVD as well for all you old school guys. And this Bay Area Godfathers will be available the same way, DVD and streaming. So yeah, we're excited. This really kind of carries on where the LA metal titles left off, and it was kind of the obvious thing because, you know, when we were, especially on the last movie we did, The Rise of LA Thrash Metal, we were interviewing a lot of these LA thrash bands, and they were talking about, you know, how they were coming up to San Francisco, you know, Lars and David Ellefson from Megadeth, and you know, Rocky from Suicidal, and Gene Hoagland and Eric Meyer from Dark Angel, and you know, Caton from Hybrax, and you know, so we already got a lot of quotes from people about the LA or about the Bay Area metal scene. So we're like, man, this is our obvious next title. So yeah, it worked out really well.
So Bob, Metal Forever Mark here. Thanks again for checking in with us tonight. We're really excited, you know, to see this new film that you have. But my question for you is, were you guys just kind of filmmakers and then decided, because I guess you're connected to LA, to kind of feature the metal genre, or are you just a whole bunch of old school metalheads that decide to make movies about the genre that you love? Which one? What, I guess, is it a chicken or the egg? Which one came first?
I guess the. I don't know if it's a chicken or the egg, but it's the second one you said. We're just old school metal guys. I was doing a metal podcast, and I did like a video cast, which got the attention of a Joe Floyd, a good friend of mine, and he had been working with Warren Croyle, who is the executive producer of the Metal Rock film. And Metal Rock films pretty much formed with the Inside Metal titles. He had been doing movies, independent movies, a lot of sci-fi and conspiracy movies, and that kind of stuff. He just put out a great movie on Robbie Knievel, you know, Evel Knievel's son, a documentary on that, and did another one I got kind of involved with getting hooked up, was the Flying V documentary. So he's got quite a few movies under his belt. But at the time, I was just a metal guy. You know, I did a lot of you know, fanzine writing in the earlier days. I did some management, worked at a few labels, did some writing for a few major magazines, and it just got into, you know, when Joe called me up and said he and Warren were talking about doing a documentary on the LA metal scene, that's kind of where everything spawned. And he said, yeah, we need you as our director, we'd love to get you as the director. So I got involved, and it turned into a series. So that's kind of how all that formed around 2012, I believe.
Well, Bob, we're up here in Rochester, New York, and we have a rich history of being on the East Coast, a vital player in the metal scene. And part of what we've been doing here at Metal Mayhem ROC this summer and fall has been, we've been celebrating the history of Rochester metal. And part of that is sort of ties into what you're doing, because we did a story on a local record shop called the Lakeshore Record Exchange.
And of course, I remember that. They used to sell my old fanzine, The Headbanger.
Yeah, Ron,
back in the early 80s.
Yeah, Ron and Jackie Stein. And he kept talking about these fanzines and these tape trading and that whole movement. And then when I was doing show research for tonight and just saw a couple of interviews with you and John and talking about that whole, the whole way that happens. The question here is, what is this the Bay Area Godfathers, what exactly are you covering? The 80s thrash, are you touching on any of the 70s with the Y&T and the day on the green stuff, or is the answer yes, you cover it all?
Yes, we cover it all. We start from the 70s. You know, we cover the whole scene. It's basically the early scene. So it goes through we don't cover, you know, we definitely get into Y&T, and we have Mike Varney in it who talks about, I guess you didn't get a link from a Chipster of the movie, but it covers, you know, some of the day on the greens and most of the hard rock and metal. We don't really get into, like, you know, the Journeys and the Santanas and all the more classic rock stuff. But
yeah,
pretty much starts with Y&T and goes on through the mid to late 80s. So when the scene was thriving, pretty much. And we do all genres of metal, not just thrash. You know, there's some glam covered, you know, Davey Vane from Vane, Billy Rowe from Jet Boy, Howard Tiemann from Head On,
mm-hmm,
and Al Tiemann from the Roadrunner, you know, Peter Marino from Le Mans. So a lot of different stuff. And a lot of the traditional metal, we got Lars Rocket, we got Heathen, we got, you know, Vicious Rumors. So it's not all necessarily thrash. You know, we try to, you know, really get all the spectrums of the hard rock metal scene from that era.
Do you touch base on any of the, like, the old Ward Off or the Metal Mondays or the Cow Pale?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole chapter on the clubs. And the old Waldorf and, you know, Ruthie's Inn, the Stone, they're all talked about pretty heavily in both part one and part two.
Hey, Bob, when you were putting these together, what kind of access did you get to the musicians and the bands? Did you get a lot of cooperation, or are there still some artists and bands you'd like to track down in the wake of all this, whether you do it on social media or maybe use it for future, you know, projects? Can you describe how that was for you?
Yeah, fortunately I brought in, you know, we brought in, I'm from LA originally. I'm actually coincidentally living in the Bay Area now in San Jose. When I was putting this together, I had a team up here of people, my camera guy, Alex Gray. And I also had John Stranansky as a producer. And I had known John since the early 80s. He started a fanzine right around the same time I started my fanzine. He had Metal Rendezvous, which turned into a legit magazine. And I was doing the Headbanger. And so we've known each other for, you know, nearly 40 years. And so he was an obvious choice growing up in the Bay Area, seeing all those bands back in the day. I brought him in. And then the guy from Reality Check TV, I'd known Danny Shipman. He had worked on a couple of previous titles, movies that I had done. And great guy and, you know, total hardcore avid metalhead. And they had all this footage between him and Hugh from Reality Check TV. They had all this great footage that we were able to use, the video footage of the bands back in the day. And Danny also hooked me up with a lot of musicians, as did John. They had the contacts of many of the people. And Danny did some of the interviews, and John did some interviews with me. So it was definitely a team effort on this.
That's great. And by the way, we recently had a chance to talk with Don Dokken for about almost a good hour, like a real deep dive into that whole LA strip scene. And this one's probably not related.
Yeah, he could talk forever, Don.
Yeah, but it's not related to the Bay Area Godfathers one, but maybe the LA strip one. And he was basically saying that, aside from Van Halen, that, you know, initially, like in the late 70s and early 80s, a lot of the glam metal or hair metal, whatever you want to call them, really wasn't happening. So he said at one point he actually went over to Germany and started kind of getting into where Accept and Priest and Maiden and all those bands were. So just, again, talking about that recollection, what do you think about how that kind of transpired? I mean, you know, it took a little while for that metal to kind of catch root in the LA scene.
Yeah, well, all the bands, and yeah, Don was actually featured in our LA titles, and he gets really into that scene, talking about the early Van Halen era when he moved out to Germany. And Europe was thriving then, and a lot of the bands from LA and from San Francisco, particularly these Bay Area bands, they were all influenced by the new wave of British heavy metal, as well as the European bands like Accept and Merciful Fate from Denmark, and, you know, all these bands that were coming from overseas. So that played a huge role in thrash metal music and metal music in general, I think, on the LA scene. I think Def Leppard played a bigger role when it comes to the hair metal, you know, as far as bands coming over from England and Europe. But as far as the heavier bands, it definitely influenced the San Francisco Bay Area scene for sure.
We've been talking with Bob Nalbandian from Metal Rock Films. The film is Bay Area Godfathers. Bob, where can people find the film? It's streaming on all the majors. And what's your social addresses?
Yeah, they should be able to stream part one of the movie, at least on October 6th. And then part two should be available probably the beginning of the new year, because we don't want to get it out in between the holiday season. So and we like to spread them apart so people know they're two separate movies, both full length movies. It'll be available on Amazon Prime, Google Play, iTunes, Apple Music, cable pay-per-view it should be on. And of course, it'll be on available on DVD for all you old school people out there that still like to collect DVDs. You could get it, order that online on Amazon and Walmart and BestBuy.com. So it should be pretty readily available. And, some of your local record stores might even carry it.
Oh, the great, great, great House of Guitars. They'll have it.
There you go.
So, all right. Bob, thanks again.
Guitar Center actually used to carry some of our titles, believe it or not.
The Guitar Center did?
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
It is.
Yeah, the Great House of Guitars here in Rochester, New York, they have a big carousel on the first floor where they have pretty much all DVD titles, books, heavy metal magazines. So I'm sure they'll carry it. And another place called Record Archive that is still here doing old school CDs and LPs. So it's pretty cool. So.
But great.
Bob, yeah. So look, we love talking metal. That's why we do this. And we certainly appreciate your time, and we wish you all kinds of great success with this new release and the new movie. And we're going to backtrack and go check out the older ones too.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark and John. And as far as my social media, you can get a hold of me on Facebook, Bob Nalbandian, Los Angeles. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. And I appreciate all you guys' support, and rock on.
You got it, Bob. Keep it heavy. All right. See you, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You've got it locked to Metal Mayhem ROC. We'll be right back.
Metal for life.
Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone,
even your non-metal friends.
Catch us next time on WLFE-DB Radio.